All right, welcome to Against All Odds, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network. I'm here with heel producer Jim Cunningham and my gurus of gambling, wizards of wagering, barons of betting, my overlords of the odds, the degenerate trifecta, Harry, Brother Bri, and Darren, the parlay kid. What's happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
Hey, Sal.
What's going on, buddy?
These guys are gambleholics here, in addition to all the nicknames I just gave them. They give out free picks every day on extrapoints.com. I haven't heard a lot of bragging from Harry lately, so I'm guessing what was like a 3-4 week or something, Harry?
Something like that. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, all right. But they're free. They're free. And they make videos, and Harry makes videos, and sometimes they go up. I want to bring Jim Cunningham in real quick before we get to everything we have to get to, and there's a lot, but this is the most important thing to me. Jim, you say Harry's videos are getting worse, not better, in many different ways, not just picks-wise, but quality. Tell me.
Quality has been, I don't know. Yeah, it looks like your phone is getting older.
Really?
Like by the model, by each video. It's grainier. It's darker.
I'm a dark type of guy.
Everyone's phone is getting older, right?
It's true.
All right. What are you doing, Harry? What are you changing up?
Just different locations. I'm a little trapped in my hotel as of right now, but don't have a car right now. But still, I'll try to figure out something else, Jim. I'll go out and about, and maybe I can... Maybe I can be creative today.
You need a car to record a video that's acceptable?
I went outside and I recorded one outside, and Jim didn't like that there was cars going by, so it was a little noisy.
Oh, so if you had a car yourself, you'd be able to block that out. All right. I don't know what to do about this. Joel Solomon, on the other hand, a producer of ours, says to me, what are we going to do with Harry? He's the star. I was like, what the hell? What do you mean? I don't see it that way. What do you mean? What are we going to do with him? We're going to let them do hot tub videos and hope that people aren't offended. I don't know what to do with them.
I don't Joel's care what smart. They look like. I don't care if they're shot on what kind of phone, an iPhone 1. Harry, just keep up the good work, man.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks, Joel. Thank you.
Good work. All right. Anyway, I don't know if that's enough of a tease for you people still listening on The Ringer. I don't know why you're still listening on The Ringer. You need to switch over. You're going to lose us in a couple minutes. And like next week, you lose us for good. I've had enough. I've warned you enough. Go to the blue all against all odds. Yes. Whatever, wherever you listen to podcasts, Apple, Stitcher, Spotify, go there, subscribe, rate, do all that, download. And that's where we are. That's what we'll be going forward. There is so much going on this week. NBA Finals, MLB playoffs. God, there's 8 games on Wednesday. NFL games of the week. There's plenty. We're coming off the Chiefs Ravens. We're going to go over all of that. I made a parlay. Todd Furman. This was Todd Furman's idea, my partner on Fox Bet Live. You can see us at 5 p.m. Eastern weekdays on FS1. He said, hey, we're not going to have this again. He's like, I want a souvenir, some kind of memento that going forward. So he's making a parlay. He went to a casino and cashed a ticket. And he has everything on it. He had MLB, all those things I mentioned, NBA Finals, MLB playoffs, an NFL game, a college game, an hockey game. We were able to bet game 6. It's never going to happen again. Hopefully never going to happen again that you'll be able to bet all those things in the same week. And I did the same thing for $20.20. It was my 2020 parlay. I'm 0-2, so if I really hope I go 0-5. I had the Ravens, the Stars, South Carolina, the Indians, some other. What would I be? And the Heat, I think. I think that's my 5. I'm praying I go 0-5. These guys had a decent week, I think, going forward. They did well on their bets, but there's always something bad looming, and we are going to deep dive into the collectively crushed soul of the degenerate trifecta now in a segment we like to or hate to call Bet Aches.
Bet makes you sick, and you make the wrong pick. It's a bad ache. It's a bad ache. It's a bad ache.
Yes, it's a bad ache. It's 3 bed aches. We're gonna hear them right now from the degenerate trifecta. Yeah, it's just like bad beats or just something in general that bothers you about gambling. Some misstep along the way. Brian, let's start with you. You were raring to go, and yours has something to do with that Chiefs Ravens game last night, and this happens to all of us.
Yeah, so last week on the pod, I gave out the Chiefs-Ravens over 53.5. This is one of those. I waited, of course, a couple days, and I went to 54.5. The line ended at 54. But at halftime, this is one of those things, Sal. It's like, I just assumed halfway through the second quarter, because the second quarter obviously had 28 points in it, but it was so high scoring. I was like, oh, this is going to get to... This game's going to 80 points. The Ravens are going to at least put up a bunch of points in the second half. So what happens, though? The big thing that ended up happening, I guess, is, I mean, Butker has been the best kicker, aside from Tucker, but Butker's been the second best kicker in football. He misses an extra point in the first quarter, which is great. And then the second quarter, it appears he makes a kick. I mean, there's 37 points at this point in time at the end of the second quarter. It appears he makes another field goal to go up 20. It looks like it went straight over the goalpost. They rule it no good. You're not allowed to challenge it, I guess. Cost 3 points. If you get that, this game's probably is definitely going over at that point in time. So it's just, and I had a lot of money on the over 54.5. So I was quite upset about this one.
And then the field goal at the end, they line up. There's, I don't know, 8 seconds left, and then they throw.
I know.
God, the Mahomes throws for it. Almost threw a touchdown. Would have killed me in fantasy. Yeah, I want to go over that. That second half was kind of boring comparatively. I do want to talk specifically about that field goal because I needed it too. I had some crazy bet where both teams scored 2 touchdowns and a field goal, and that's the only thing I was missing was that dumb field goal by Kansas City. We all saw it, and Butker, it's hilarious because he lined up 3 times from 58 yards or whatever it was against the Chargers, like a pro, just kicked it right through, no doubt. Paulie Kidd, you saw this. I thought it went over the upright, on the correct side of the upright. The posts are not extended. I feel like at least, you know, and these asshole referees look at each other like, I don't know, no good, good, I don't know. All right, we'll call it no good because it really didn't fall within our parameters there. So they call it no good. I don't know what reviewing it does. Why is a field goal not reviewable? Any scoring play is reviewable. A touchdown's reviewable. A safety's reviewable. I looked today. A safety, which is worth 2 points, is reviewable. Why can't something that's a million miles in the sky that the referees aren't going to be able to tell with the naked eye, why can't we at least look at it?
It's ridiculous. Yeah, and safeties are reviewable because we saw that with Zeke the other day. They reviewed that. That should be reviewable. Obviously, almost everybody forgets about it. If you're just a fan watching the game, you totally forget about that field goal. But if you're a degenerate gambler like all of us here, that's a big factor in a game, right? You say to yourself at that point, I know that's going to come back and get me here at some point, right?
Right.
Like you say that to yourself. You know it's going to happen. So that should be reviewable. There should be something on the screen where you could see where they can extend the goalposts to see where that ball went. And I would say a good part of that ball, if not the whole ball, went inside the goalpost. And Butker thought the same thing. And kickers know
when they make it or not.
He knows. Yeah. And he looked like, what? He was like very confused. Like, how? That wasn't a miss.
Right.
You know? And a weird game for Butker, too, right? After an all-time performance last week.
Yeah.
Like, misses an extra point, field goal. It's a weird game for him all around.
Drove me crazy. I know Mahomes gets all the accolades, and he should, but that's what stuck in my craw right there, that dumb kick. And, yes, the Adam Carolla thing, just extend the goalposts. I think they did a few years ago. They extended them. They need to extend them even more. Carolla's been screaming about this for years. He doesn't care how many elderly diabetics die if you extend the uprights.
Well, Sal, the funny thing about the uprights is how do they determine the height of the uprights? Like if you go 5 feet further, is it like a hazard where it could collapse and fall on people? I'm trying to think.
I wonder if it obstructs view or something from I don't know what it is. I know it would look different, so maybe that's just weird for them, but how about we get these right? There's 5 of these a year. But, Paulie Kidd, while we have you, you have a bed ache too, don't you?
Yeah, well, I'll be quick. I got a couple. One is, you know, I look forward all day on Twitter to see Harry's amazing picks, right? So I always look forward. What are Harry's picks? I'm going to ride Harry's picks. So now this is a couple weeks in a row now where I've gone to, like, right before the Monday night game.
You're going to ride my picks.
Monday night picks, right? And you go to his Twitter feed, and it says, Harry's Monday night picks, and there's nothing there. There's nothing there.
It's good ways to good ways to
Jim,
stay
you think the guy can't even get that, right, Jim? So you should actually be lucky that he gets you any type of video when he can't even post his own thing on his own site. So all the everybody responds to him saying, Harry, there's nothing here. The link is not working, et cetera, et cetera. Harry does nothing about it.
Yeah,
nothing happens. It stays that way the whole time. Last week, he did something about it and then retracted it because he had losers on it, just so you know. That's a fact. So I won't say anything
wow,
about that.
Wow, really?
Last week he retracted it after he realized there were
doing,
losers.
Harry?
He actually posted it back. Oh, wait, there's losers? Gone again. Okay, but
wow,
that aside, Sal, here's my bed ache for this week.
Go ahead.
I had the Chargers this week. I jumped on the Chargers. No McCaffrey for the Panthers. I got a little over anxious early in the week. I was very impressed by Herbert's performance the week before. I jump on him. Well, look, after this game happens, 4 turnovers for the Chargers, 0 for the Panthers. But did we watch the end of that game? Why is so little being made out of that last play that the
Amazing.
Chargers ran to win the game? It was like a what do you call it? What's that play?
Hook
and lateral. Yes, hook and lateral, right? Where it was executed almost to perfection. I think it was Keenan Allen who threw it a little bit behind Eckler. They just couldn't get the timing right.
Mm-hmm.
Eckler scores a touchdown there. The Chargers win a game.
Yeah.
On that play, if that lateral was just a little more forward
yep.
than hitting him in the back shoulder. And it kind of like the game ended and nobody even talked about it. Like, that really bothered him. It's like, wait, that's a winning play.
Yes.
If a guy had dropped a touchdown pass in the end zone on that play, right?
I've seen it
we would have been talking. It would have been all over the place.
Right.
What's the difference on this play where it was a layup as long as they can execute it to scoring? If you watch it, I sent it to you guys yesterday,
yeah.
I believe, like the breakdown of the play. And it was so obvious, and nobody talked about it. And it really bothered me that I would have won some more money this week if that play was executed.
The D-back, the only guy who could have tackled Eckler, was his balance was on the left. He got he got deked completely. And so if the lateral is it hook and lateral or hook and ladder?
Ladder.
Hook and ladder?
It's really hook and lateral.
It's both, yeah.
It's right. Isn't it really hook and lateral?
It should be.
I've always said hook and ladder, but while we were talking about it, I'm thinking it's hook and lateral.
I think it's both. But this is another Corolla thing.
I say it's both,
go crazy with. But, but yes, absolutely, Eckler should score there. The Chargers should win. And then it's Justin Herbert's the story and not so much Joe Burrow, who lost or tied in overtime. But yes, that's a bad beat. All right, Harry, jump in there. I mean, I don't know, Harry. By the way, Jim, maybe you owe Harry an apology. He's obviously putting his best foot forward. Well, I guess that's a foot. When sending the emails and videos. Right?
Have you seen Harry's feet?
No. I think we have. Jim, do you have a video with Harry's feet? No, nothing. All right, Harry, let's hear your better.
All right. Well, listen, first, Darren, if you don't know the plays, that's probably why you've never won a championship coaching for 25 years. You don't even know the plays. Anyways,
wow.
I got two bet eggs. Listen, I did have I did need for like $700 last night. I needed the Ravens on the money line. And that wasn't obviously that wasn't good from pretty much the beginning. But I'll get into it later. I wasn't even
bad beat there. Bad beat. You had the Ravens in the back pocket. Wow. Sorry about that, pal.
Still needed it for whatever. But it had the Bears. The Bears. Are you kidding me? I mean, the Falcons. The Falcons are brutal. 2 weeks in a row, they've gone unbelievably fold jobs down the stretch. I mean, I thought that was in the bank. I had a parlay with 4 golf matchups, which I never hit, and they all hit with the Heat on the money line that night in game 6 against Boston. And I thought 26-10, 6 minutes ago, I wasn't even paying attention to the game anymore. All of a sudden, the Bills-Rams game was over, and then they go to the Bears game. I'm like, are you kidding me? And then Matt Ryan can't get it done at the end, overthrows the guy. When the series before, he had the guy wide open for a touchdown, and that would have been it. Misses him. Bears come down, score the touchdown. And I mean, honestly, the Falcons, 2 weeks in a row, this is disgusting.
I think you kind of get what you're you deserve with the Falcons at this point.
Yeah, you're
sorry.
Right.
Harry, let's be honest. So you haven't watched any of these games the last few days. You said your TV has not been working yet in the hotel.
What?
I knew last night he was not watching the game because he had the over on the picks. Didn't complain about it once about the Chiefs going over until after the game, until I said something. So I knew right away he wasn't watching the game. I don't know what's happening. He says the TV in the hotel doesn't work. I don't know.
TV in the hotel that our buddy Ken has put me up at, where I'm helping him do a bunch of things where I'm still not getting paid. And
that's a bad
the TV
beat.
Right before the Packers Saints game on Sunday night, the TV in this hotel went out, and the whole TVs are out in the entire hotel, and they still aren't on till today. Still not up.
Harry, let's do win, play, show. What works worst for you? Your phone, your TV, or your website?
They all tie.
Or your car. Apparently you don't have a car either.
Three-way tie.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. And that's another episode of Bet Aches.
When a bet makes you sick and you make the wrong pick, it's a bet ache. It's a bet ache. It's a bet ache.
Bet Aches was brought to you by PropSwap, where America buys and sells sports bets. What a country. Smart sports bettors always know where to find the best odds before placing a bet, and that's why smart bettors use PropSwap. You could always find the best odds on PropSwap because you're buying directly from other bettors like yourself. You see a ticket you like but think the price is too high, submit a bid for a price you think is fair, then buy it. And for a limited time, our listeners can get up to $500 in bonus cash. Just use the promo code ODDS. That's promo code ODDS, ODDS, and PropSwap will match your first deposit up to $500. Become a smarter sports bettor today. Go to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app. Harry, PropSwap could have gotten you out of trouble with that Ravens parlay, right? You had Ravens carried over. You could have sold me the PropSwap. You would have gotten a pretty penny. Wouldn't have had to worry about not watching it on TV or your phone or whatever else doesn't work in your life. Next time, right?
Pretty much, all right. Yeah.
There you go. All right, let's talk NFL. There's so much action. We're left with one more bad Thursday night game, at least on paper, going in before Fox coverage takes over. This is week 4. Denver -3 at the Jets. 39.5 is the over-under. Parlay Kid, I'm sorry. We assigned games to each of you because not everybody could do three games, but you got stuck with this one. We're going over 6 games. The Jets at home, what a disaster. What is going to be? Gase says he's going with Darnold, which I think they should have asked Darnold if he's going with Gase at this point, because everything you read says this is a terrible marriage for quarterback coach. Like, they need to, Darnold won't get better until he leaves Gase, and other way around too. Do you see any hope for Darnold? I know Harry hates him, but the Jets are getting points at home.
Yeah, that's why I'm taking the Jets here, Sal. I would advise our listeners to maybe wait till this line goes up. I could see this going up to 3.5 at some point. I think people are so down on the Jets, but and rightfully so. The Jets have not had a lead yet in a game, right? Mm. So they are one of the worst teams in football, if not the worst team in football. The Denver is a close behind with all their injuries right now. I just think the travel here, Sal. And yeah, look, Darnold, I've seen flashes of things from Darnold, not this year, but in past years, mm-hmm. where I think Darnold is still going to be the best quarterback on the field in this game. Mm-hmm. I think Darnold's biggest problem is, who are the Jets' weapons? I'm sorry, but he's got nobody to throw to. His main weapon right now is a receiver with the last name of Berrios, who nobody can tell me anything about at all.
He went to the University of Miami.
Oh, wow.
If he can get Perryman back and Mims back here, along with Crowder maybe coming back this week for this game. I'm not sure, it's a short week. But mm-hmm. if we get a couple guys back, I think the Jets show up this week. This is going to be an ugly game. But I think the Jets, with these points, somehow manage to cover that and maybe even win this game. So I'm going to take the Jets, and something has to happen. It's not a good fit. If Gase loses this game, I think the Jets should just make a change for change's sake at that point, really.
Yeah. I was thinking about it, and everybody, I know it's a, Paulie Kidd, you're a coach, so I think you're more sensitive to this than most are, and everyone's like, fire the coach. Yeah. I get, you know, yeah. most of the times it's undeserved. And then they do fire the coach, and they replace him with, like, the quarterback's coach for, like, North Dakota State or something. Like, oh, where the hell did this guy come from? This is going to be, but, right. so it's never satisfying. But in this case, God, there's so much public sentiment against it, and the Jets should have a lead in one of these games, and the Jets and Giants should win a home game once in a while against a team ravaged with injuries
right.
like the 49ers or a team like the Broncos. But I think you're right, Paulie Kidd. If Sam Darnold has Denver's weapons offensively, I think this line is much different, right? So, but he doesn't. I would take the 3.5. I would buy this up to 3.5 if you could. It could be right. a nonsensical ending there with the field goal kickers, McManus or something, kicking it through the upright to win there. All right. Oh, boy. Nervous every week about this. Harry steals the Cowboys games. I say, all right, who wants
Used
to cover
to be
the
my
Cowboys
thing,
game?
Used right. to be my thing where you came to me for the Cowboys, but now Harry insists. He's, you know, he's got a love affair with the Cowboys now. He's in
he
love
really
with
does. They're yep. favored by 4.5 over Cleveland. It's in Dallas. There'll be some fans there. 55 is the over-under. Harry, you're not picking the side, but you like the total.
Yeah, I think this game flies over. I mean, Dallas back-to-back weeks game, 79 points in their games, 69 points in their games. Zeke has scored in every single game. Dak, through 3 weeks, almost 1,200 yards passing. Mm. These games are just shootouts. The Dallas defense is very soft. I mean, the last 2 weeks, they've given up 9 passing touchdowns. They have 0 picks. Rookie Trayvon Diggs has gotten toasted a couple times. And Cleveland, on the Cleveland side, 35 points and 34 points back-to-back weeks. Offense is clicking there. And Chubb and Hunt, they've got 500 yards combined, 7 total touchdowns. This is going to be a shootout in Big D.
I wouldn't bet any unders in the pros. I mean, obviously, I forgot to look. Wait, it was 48. I looked at it. Like the 29 and 19. The overs are 29 and 19 right now, I think, through 48 games. That makes sense, right? 3 weeks?
Yeah.
I don't know that Vegas or FanDuel or anyone is adjusting either. I mean, there's just no defense, which is why, Paulie Kidd, I don't worry so much about our team because I don't know what other team in the NFC East wins 7 games with their offenses. Maybe Washington with... If they throw Alex Smith in there, it could get somewhere. But it's just going to be too much offense. The sad part is Dak throws for 470, and that last drive, it takes him 12 plays to get 40 yards, you know, and they run out of time. Disgusting.
Yeah, there's a lot of holes in this team.
Yeah.
Even on both sides of the ball, you could really say. The Cowboys put up some numbers, but like you said, then that last drive just leaves you scratching your head. It took them 3 timeouts with 1:55. Brother Brian and I are saying, well, hopefully the Cowboys don't score too quickly and leave enough time for Seattle. And Dallas has no time left. How does that happen? Well, we know how it happens, but it's still just holes, players-wise, coaching-wise. But yet they're still the best team in the NFC East.
So. It was nice to have the 3 timeouts. That was a nice Mike McCarthy gift. You didn't get that with Jason Garrett. There's some bullshit like... Yeah. For second play of the third quarter, they'd call a timeout or something under Jason Garrett to avoid a delay of game or something. But it didn't matter. I mean, they basically ran out of time. I know we threw the pick in the end zone, but they basically ran out of time. I'm taking the points. I'm taking the Browns and the points here. I just don't trust the Cowboys. I think it's just going to be last possession kind of thing, Harry. I think you're right. With all those Browns weapons, it's going to be tough. Maybe everyone's defense settles in by week 10 or something. But right now, how could you give up 5 points if you're Dallas to Cleveland? All right, Brother Brian, we're going to bring you in. You did get to comment on your favorite team, the Raiders. Raiders playing like champs, kind of walked into a Belichick buzzsaw last week. That's just how it's going to go. Little luck from Belichick, right? The Jacobs fumble recovery, little cheating there.
What
and then they just grind
that?
You out, passing and running, passing to running backs and shit like that. And a turnover later, that was the end of the game. But Buffalo -3 at Las Vegas. A lot of travel here. 51.5 is the over under. I think you like your team, right?
Yeah, I like the Raiders +3 here. Like, for as much as I give my Raiders shit, I thought they played okay against the Pats, especially in the first half, especially after traveling on short rest. Their defense still sucks, though. That's the problem. And as first, I give Carr a lot of shit. And I will give Carr a lot of shit for that game too, because I'm sick of the, you guys might get this with Dak too, but the 3rd and 9, the 3rd and 8, the 3rd and 7, and you're throwing like a 1 yard pass when you need to go. It's that bothers the hell out of me. But that being said, I was a little concerned, like with the Bills defense has not been very good, right? The Rams shredded them, especially in that second half. Henderson ran all over them. So I'd expect a run heavy attack by Jacobs, a lot of play action by the Raiders. I think we score enough on the Bills to keep this close. I'm not sure I trust the Raiders defense enough though to get some critical stops, just because the Bills have the wide receivers to cause them problems. So I'm not going to take them to win. I think it's a close game. I'll probably tease the Raiders on a bunch of things to 9, 10 points. But I do like the +3. And I also like the over 51.5 here. Cause again, the Raiders can't really stop anybody. I think they're going to score. The only thing is right now, like you said, I'd probably take the over in every game. So that's really why I'm not giving out the over here.
No, if you could tease all these overs or you know, do something with them. I like your team just on the field. I think I'd take the +140, +150, whatever it ends up being. I don't know. Now I have to hate this Bills team. I have to add a team to hate every week because Dave Damashek squawking about America's team. All America. Can you imagine the Bills, America's team, if they went to CBS, went to Goodell? It's like, hey, this has to be the Thanksgiving game. Everyone, they would laugh. They'd be like, goodbye. You're done. So that's not the reason, though. I just think emotional win for Bills traveling against the Raiders team. That's kind of good. And they're good at home, and they showed they were good at home against the Saints. I think they win and +140, +150, or take the 3 points. All right, Parlay Kid, I guess this is the marquee matchup. KC, New England. KC, though, a touchdown favorite, because you have to make them a touchdown favorite. They were a touchdown favorite before last night's shellacking.
Yeah.
And then now they're still a touchdown favorite over New England. And the over-under is 54. They wait till after the Monday night game to put that out there. 54 also kind of seems low. Which way are you going, Parlay Kid?
Yeah, well, so I don't know if that's too low in this game. No? That I'm taking the Patriots +7. Might be seem a little unusual to people. I'm a huge Chiefs guy in terms of betting on the Chiefs. But I do think there's going to be a little bit of an emotional letdown. And you get the sense that the Chiefs sometimes play to their competition.
Maybe.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like last night, at least for a while, until they had a couple like setbacks with a turnover when they were driving and a missed field goal and a 4th and 1 where they had a terrible play call, there was up to that point, their offense was unstoppable against a good Ravens defense. So we know what Belichick is going to do, right? Look what he did against Waller last week on the Raiders. He's going to eliminate either Hill or Kelsey from this game. That's what they're going to do. They're going to eliminate one of those guys. And then what they'll do is they will double the other guy and shut that guy down. And they're going to make everybody but Hill and Kelsey beat them. You're going to have to see Sammy Watkins beat them or somebody to that nature beat them. And on the other side of the ball, we're going to see the Patriots run the ball a lot. Okay, so we're going to see Newton run the ball a lot. Lamar Jackson had success running. On that first drive, he came out, he's running the ball. The Ravens looked like they were going to have be tough to stop last night. But I think we're going to see them run the ball, control the clock, try to keep this close. The Patriots will put up enough points to keep this within 7, I believe. And I'm not going to make a prediction on the over-under, but it's going to be around that number. But I could certainly see this game being more like 27-23 Chiefs.
Okay.
But I like the Patriots with the 7 points here.
So. All right. I'm going to pass.
Little letdown game for the Chiefs. A little letdown game.
This is Tuesday morning. It's too early in the week for me to say. I think you're right. It could be a letdown game. I go back and forth. One thing's for sure. We go about on this on text. It is a huge advantage to the road team in some of these home facilities where there's naturally a home advantage. And there's no fans. I know there's a more articulate way to say that, but these road teams are coming out, and especially the good quarterbacks like Aaron Rodgers in New Orleans with the crazy snap counts and the cadences, drawing the Saints off sides. Like, it's insane. That just wouldn't happen normally. There's that for sure, which is why, you know, but it doesn't make sense why the Chiefs would stumble at the Chargers then, where they have no fans normally.
Right.
It's just very weird, except for the fact that, like you said, Parlay Kid, there's still a couple of games a year that the better teams don't show up for. You're like, what? Why did the Chiefs only have 13 against the Chargers when they've beaten them six in a row in LA or San Diego or whatever the last six games were? That's kind of what it is. So you have to figure out where the letdown games are. They probably will be up for this. And freak, that offense is so dynamic. You end up like when he's throwing underhand passes, Brother Brian, it's insane. Like, you don't want to spinning around and finding Kelce wide open over the middle. You can't really handicap that. I think you just have to account for a couple of crazy plays like that and just hope that it's not three if you're betting against the Chiefs. I'm passing on this, except I think I'm taking the over. I think New England's going to have to play catch up, and the Chiefs' secondary will allow them to a little bit. Over 54 is what I'll say. All right, Harry, Pittsburgh, Tennessee. Not even sure if this is a game anymore. Pittsburgh -2 at Tennessee. Both teams undefeated, right? 47.5 is the over-under. We may be talking about this for no reason, so I'm glad you're handling it. What do you like?
I'm going to lean a little bit here towards the under of the 47.5. I think, you know, Tennessee 3-0, like you mentioned, but very fortunate. Won all three games by a total of 6 points. I think they lay a little bit of an egg here. Pittsburgh, I think, may win this game, but in a low-scoring game. Look, TJ Watt, 3.5 sacks, 1 pick so far for the Steelers. The Steelers have 15 sacks through 3 games and 5 turnovers. And their defense also, in their, again, with Derrick Henry, I think Derrick Henry might get shut down here, and they just won't be able to score Tennessee and move the ball so much, because in their 3 games, Pittsburgh's defense, run defense, Houston had 29 yards, the Giants had 29 yards, Denver 100. So I think Tennessee's going to be shut down running the ball. And also defensively, though, I do like their rookie, Christian Fulton. He's got a sack and a pick this year so far. I think this game is a battle between the trenches. I think it stays under. Maybe like this is like a 19-16 game.
All right. You're going under in this one. Well, if you don't know what I was talking about in the beginning, there were some faculty members, and it's unclear who tested positive in Tennessee. But now they're retesting everybody. And we're going to see what happens with this game. Pittsburgh line will probably go up either way. I don't know. I don't even know what. The Virginia Tech played with 23 players. They didn't have 23 players. They had 3 coaches were out, and they shellacked, who was it? NC State, who was favored in that game. You can't even go by this anymore. I don't know if college is maybe a little different. Guskowski, what a comeback for Guskowski, right? Three game-winning field goals in the 50s. That's – And Tennessee 0-3 against the spread.
Yep.
And they have to be close. Like, I don't think there are 6-0 teams who were 0-6 against the spread. I think they're pretty close to setting the record. I meant to look at this, but probably 5-0 and 0-5 against the spread is the record for a team. But I want to look into that if anybody knows. Harry, you're going under. I'm going to take Pittsburgh. I like the way they handled Houston there. Obviously, Houston's offensive line's a mess. I think Pittsburgh had 4 sacks. Last week, but Houston was up against the ropes. They were 0-2. They had a pretty sizable lead, and the Steelers just grinded them out. You know, between McFarland and Connor, they have a great run game. They have deep threats offensively. I don't think we've seen the best of the Steelers, and I'm hoping we do on Sunday. I'm taking them -2. All right, Brother Brian, Monday night. This is interesting with the two night games. You got the two coaches on the hot seats, the hottest of seats, Adam Gase and our friend Dan Quinn. In Atlanta, Green Bay -7, 57.5. That's pretty high. Which way are you going with this one?
Yeah. So, by the way, you said Guskowski. I think he's the favorite now for comeback player of the year, by the way.
It's crazy. He upped his odds to like 200-1 after missing every kick that first game. And then,
But I'm going to buy a half a point here. I'm going to take the Falcons +7.5. It's -120. On FanDuel. But look, the Packers right now look like a top three team in the NFL. Offensively, they look even more explosive this year. Rodgers throwing guys you never even heard of. But I have a feeling this is one of those games where everybody will be taking the Packers this week, and rightfully so. But for as embarrassing as the Falcons have been, Dan Quinn is coaching for his job here. The Falcons typically in these sorts of games kill me. I don't know. It's either like a Saints game every year. Something wacky happens. I would not feel comfortable really in this game. I should feel comfortable, but I wouldn't. I feel like they pull something out of their ass. I'll say Rodgers is up like 10 to 14 points late. Ryan gets a nice backdoor cover. Julio Jones should be playing this week. So That should help them. I don't know. Maybe the Falcons will be up 18. They'll lose a game again. I mean, that would be the best. But I don't know. What are you thinking here, Sal? Because I'm
a big Packer fan this year. I love Aaron Rodgers. I love everything he's doing. I think that draft pick, you know, Jordan Love inspired him to be better than he is. It's like, awesome. Whatever. Aaron Jones is great. I have the best running back I've had in a long time. I have a defense that steps up. Za'Darius Smith is right there with your guy Khalil Mack. Not Aaron Donald-esque yet, but right defensively, they make plays. And Rodgers is just superior to almost everyone that we didn't see play last night. The only problem is, I think, like I discussed with Paul, like, this could be one of those games that they're looking ahead. You know, Green Bay doesn't really care too much. They don't show up. They go to the level of the competition. You combine that with Dan Quinn is playing for his job and all that. I'm just happy for you, Brother Bri, because you almost have a guaranteed bet ache for a few hours later. You know when you bet a team that just sucks over and over and over? Yeah, that's what I did with Atlanta.
Yeah.
I bought a half a point. I think that's what you do. I'll go over again for basically the same reasons you gave. I think it could be like, you know, a 33-30 type final and go over 57.5. Is that the highest we've seen this year? Did we see 57.5 on the Dallas? Or was it 57?
I think it went up, right? Did it go up to 57.5? I think it did.
It might have,
I don't know what it closed at, but it was about that. But yeah, this is really high. But again, I mean, I don't see how the Falcons really stop the Packers here the way they've been playing. So
this is going to be a teaser favorite with Green Bay. And I can see people going Green Bay, KC as a teaser or a moneyline parlay. Yeah,
for sure.
Right there. That's a fun one. Well, best of luck to you, Dan Quinn. And as you know, now, Against All Odds brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. By now, you probably heard about FanDuel Sportsbook. World-class sports betting app. FanDuel makes it easy to find and place your bets. They've got some of the best odds you'll find anywhere. Fun bet types. Only place where you can place a same-game parlay NFL bet this season. And when you win, they even get you your winnings in as little as 24 hours. Lots of reasons to try FanDuel Sportsbook, but here's one more. Right now, new users can place their first bet on FanDuel Sportsbook risk-free and get up to $1,000 back in site credit if you don't win. No strings attached. Just place any bet you want. You win, you keep the cash. You lose, you get your entire bet up to $1,000 back in site credit. Start betting. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and be sure to sign up with promo code Against All Odds so they know we sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook promo code Against All Odds. You have to be 21 or older and present in New Jersey, Illinois, West Virginia, Indiana, Colorado, or Iowa. First online real money wager only. Site credit is non-withdrawable, expires in 7 days. Restrictions apply. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER in West Virginia. Visit www.1800gambler.net. In Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Or in Colorado, call 1-800-522-4700. And in Iowa, you call 1-800-BETS-OFF. You got all those numbers, Harry? You got them handy? $1,000 back. $1,000 back in site credit. That's insane. How much screwing up can we do? That's perfect for us. Why don't we do that? $1,000, site credit, FanDuel.com/extra points. All right, NBA Finals. I thought maybe we could talk about a Game 7. No one had Tampa Bay, right? Does anyone have to? I mean, nice job, Tampa Bay. Paulie, kid, you and I had Toronto, so we were out of it early. I remember when we made our picks. Harry, Bri, did you have Tampa Bay? I'm trying to think.
No. I mean, I had them, like, I bet them last night, but I didn't have any.
I had Tampa Bay at the start of the season.
Start of the season, you had that.
You had that. And then you and I kind of jumped on Toronto for this restart.
Right.
Great job at Tampa Bay. Good series. It was a good series. I know a lot of people probably weren't watching, but it was a lot of fun, the NHL.
That was fun.
Does anybody else get a sense? Like, I feel like there's another hockey series like that's supposed to happen.
There's one more?
Right? Yeah. I feel like was that the finals? I don't know.
I feel like it ended three series ago. I do like the whole thing with the players celebrating. They're all over each other. You see the toothless smiles. Jumping up and down. A coach in a suit on the ice jumping up and down is great. And then 18 seconds later, a somber handshake. Along for 5 minute handshake, which is one of the greatest traditions in sports. Harry, the thing I went with, I had both teams to score. Man, that worked for so long. That streak was snapped yesterday. I think Tampa Bay had 14 games. Was it 15 games in a row where not only they scored, but their opponent scored.
Every single game they played in the bubble.
Every game.
Them and their opponent scored, except last night.
Right. So it was the Stars who had 14 of 15. Yeah. That was killer for me. But whatever the hell. I think I had it with the Ravens or something. All right. NBA. Game one final. Parlay Kid, dude, take a bow here. You like the Heat. You're getting mad at everyone else for taking the Celtics. But yeah. I don't know why we wanted the Celtics in this. This is a nice final. Lakers game one.
That's
minus
what I
five.
Mean. That's what I've been saying the whole time, Sal.
Yeah.
I don't understand why everybody was so high on the Celtics from the start. I think everybody here likes to bet the dogs once in a while, right? And Miami was a slight underdog in that series coming in. And I'm just surprised that everybody was rooting for the Celtics. Isn't this a better series now? I just think this is a better series. The Lakers Heat. It's a pretty good matchup. It's a fun matchup.
Yeah, it could be good. The Celtics were a weird team. Everyone got excited, including me, when Gordon Hayward came back, and then that went away in a flash. Like, nope, he's not the difference maker. I think the difference in that series is they were up at halftime and then would blow leads or hold on. I mean, their most momentum they had was when Gordon Hayward came back. And then that went away. I mean, you want to do that thing, best players. You got, I went over this with Simmons. LeBron and AD are one and two best players. Three through what? Seven or eight for the Heat? What do you think? Seven, more, less? Three through six, seven or eight?
I'd say right now, obviously Butler is three.
Butler, Bam.
Bam is four.
Yeah.
Dragic.
You can make a case. For Dragic is five and Hero is six.
Yes.
Right?
And Robinson too.
Is Robinson better than Rondo? Now you're getting now it's close with all these guys. With Kuzma
that's
and all.
Close then. At
that's
that
close.
Point.
But yeah, three through six. I don't know if that ever matters if LeBron's in the game or AD's healthy or anything. But let's look at game one and then we'll look at the series. Lakers minus five according to FanDuel, 217.5. Parlay Kid, we'll give you the floor. I mean, you were the champ. You picked the Heat.
Listen, this is, let's talk about this game first. Game one, I'll take the Heat getting the 5 points here, maybe riding a little momentum from what seemed like, I'll get back to the series in a second. I'll just concentrate on the game. I like the Heat plus five here. I think they just carried the momentum over. I think their shooters will stay hot. I think the Lakers might come out a little flat in game one, at least early in the game before they get a little bit of a wake-up call. And then at that point, maybe it's too late, but I don't know who wins this game, but I think the Heat cover. I think this game comes down. You could might as well just wait until watch the last 5-6 minutes of this game. And it will be somewhere in this vicinity and it will come down to who makes the last few shots. So let's say the Heat plus five here, Sal.
All right, Harry, you're not disagreeing. You're going with the underdog. It's been a while since you've gone with the underdog in NBA.
True, but I did have the Raptors last year, remember? So I did. So I'm going to go with the Heat here also in game one. Mm-hmm. Look, they've won all three games in the playoffs in their first game. Butler's been clutch. Lakers just 1-2 in game ones. And in Lakers two losses, 15% from three-point range against Portland, 29% from three-point range against Houston in game one. I like Miami, too. I'm riding with Parlay Kid here. I'm taking the Heat in game one.
All right. Brother Bri, you're looking more at the total.
Yeah, I'll go over here over the 217.5 game one. What's happened in this bubble, right? Everything was going over. Then everything was going under. Now everything's going over again. So the overs went 9-2 in the conference finals. Miami was one. They were a sleeper over team this year. They were one of the best over teams. I think they hit on they overhit on 59% of their games. So I'd expect, for some reason, I feel like game one will be less intense defensively as they try to figure each other out. And I just think there's going to be a lot of points scored. I think especially game one, Miami's going to score. I don't know after game one, but I feel like game one's going to be the game where it's going to take some time for the Lakers defense to pick up against them.
Interesting. I'm going the other way. I don't know why. I don't have a lot of numbers to back it up. I think the Lakers screw them up momentum-wise in the first half. I think it takes a minute for Miami to figure it out. I think the Lakers dominate the paint in the first half, -2.5. I could see it being like, you know, low scoring, but 48-43 first half, LeBron and Anthony Davis winning that first game, the first half, 48-43. So Lakers minus 2.5 first half. Let's talk about the series. Maybe we should have done this the other way, but Lakers are minus 370. The Heat are plus 250. I thought that was high. We all guessed the line going in. Bri, I think you said it was like be like minus 300 or something and went higher. I thought it'd be like 260 or something. I just think the books didn't want to get killed again with the underdog. But Brian, what are you, you're going off the, but you're going to take a nice little prop here. You're staying away from the series itself.
Yeah, I will say, look, I did, this is my bad here. I did give out the Heat to win, back in April at 60-1 on this. On this podcast, I gave them out at 60-1. I did not back them the last series, which I should have just stuck with them and rode that out. I mean, I will say I do have a small wager on the Heat for this series so far. I feel like there's not a lot of value on the Lakers unless you're taking them to win in five or six games. So I will say FanDuel has a couple of great props up right now. So I'm going to go with something that I feel like is a little bit of value. I'm going to take Anthony Davis most rebounds in the series at plus 300. Again, I think it's great value. Against Denver, Davis only averaged six rebounds per game. Likely had to do with him. I don't know what was going on with him, really. But, I mean, I think Jokic just pulled him away from the basket a lot. LeBron and Howard cleaned up the boards. Howard shouldn't play as much in this series. I can't imagine he's playing that much. Adebayo won't pull Davis out as much as Jokic did. If you look at the Houston series, Davis averaged 12.5 rebounds that series. So I feel like this is – I feel like it's going to be very even between – him and Adebayo. And Adebayo, I think, is plus 125. He's plus 300. So I just really like the value on that.
All right. There you go. Pretty good. AD most rebounds, 3-1 odds. Parlay kid, which way are you going with this?
I'm rooting for the Heat here, Sal, but I'm not taking the Heat. I'm going to sit here. We're going to root for them, but I'm taking the Lakers in six. I'm not sure what the odds are for that exact amount. I think the Heat are definitely good enough and shoot well enough to sneak out a couple wins here. But I think when the Lakers really seem to put their mind to it, I think that they're – and look, I think if you watched the Heat celebrate the other day after that win, I felt like the Heat got the impression like they accomplished what they wanted to accomplish. While the Lakers, I think they have one goal, right? And that's especially LeBron and AD, and that's to win the whole thing. I wonder if the Heat will kind of rest on their laurels here. I don't think they have a coach who will let them do that, but I just think that, you know, they did, I think, what they wanted to do, and now I think the Lakers are going to do what they want to do, and they'll win this in six. So if somebody can eventually find those odds, I'm sure they'll be out there. Lakers in six is what I roll.
What do you think it is, Parley King? I have it here. What do you think it is? What do you think?
Oh, man. Let's see.
Take your time.
It's probably the most, it's probably got the worst odds. I mean, or the best odds, depending on how you want to look at it, right?
No.
It's probably the most common.
No, five is most common. Lakers.
Oh, really?
Five. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, so is it.
But game one tips off in like 4 minutes. So hurry up. So,
plus 200. I don't know.
No, plus you're going to be happy. Well, unless you're rooting for the Heat, but plus 350 is Lakers in
is
six.
Is it really?
Right around okay, there, that, right, Brian?
I
guess
yeah. That, yeah, I think yeah. Plus 320, I think, is right now.
320 you're seeing? Yeah. Okay, yeah. I'm seeing it. Oh, it's jumping right around there.
You know what? What's five games, Sal?
Five is plus 250, I'm seeing. Maybe, Brian, you have a little lower.
Plus 290 on FanDuel right
oh,
now.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
I think, all right, hey, roll on games five and six. I would do that. That's a winner right there.
I was trying to... Go ahead.
I'm shocked that Darren's not picking the Heat here because I know he wants to root for them. So
I'm rooting for him. I'm 100% rooting for the Heat. The way I
Lakers are up
3-2.
Lakers are up 3-2. If you have money on Lakers in six, you're not going to root for the Heat, right? Or are you just giving out the pick? That's fine.
No, I'm giving out the pick. I would root for where my money was at that point. But
all right.
It's emotional hedging all the way here, right?
Right. All right. Harry, you're not hedging at all. You're going Heat in the series. You need to look like a champ to pick the underdog two years in a row.
That's right. You know, and also, look, again, I'm rooting, like Parlay Kid said, I'm rooting for the Heat, though, just in general, too. I don't want to see LeBron win. I mean, look, with this Heat team, what they've done as a five seed, it's been tremendous to get to the point where they're at. And when they played the Lakers in both meetings this year, they held the Lakers to 32% from three-point range, 25% from three-point range. I think they're deeper than the Lakers. You get a game, you get a couple games when Duncan Robinson is hitting four or five threes and Tyler Hero is on fire too. They can win this series, and they can win this game series in six or seven if they're on their game. Dragic is doing plays all over the place, passing the ball, getting points, doing everything he needs to. And also, Butler, like you said, Sal, before, he's clutch too. I mean, I think this is a situation where the Heat could pull off against Lakers, because Denver could have won against Lakers too. If they get that call in the game before when they lost, they could have been in the series and could have went seven.
I think Harry's right. If Dragic is doing plays, they're definitely going to win.
Is there any way we can find out ahead of time if Dragic is doing plays? Joel or Jim, look up.
I mean,
you never know. It's Spoelstra's strategy here, but he might be doing plays.
Great job by Spoelstra too.
I'll say that I was looking for value in the Lakers too, because you don't want to lay 370, but yeah. I don't see them winning this series without LeBron getting the MVP hardware. I just don't see it. 27-10-9 against the Nuggets, 26-10-8 against the Rockets. He's averaging almost a triple double in the playoffs. He's going to have to, if they win, I think they're going to, like we said, they have to make up a lot in that 3-6 slot. They're going to be, the talent level is inferior on the Lakers side. It's not as consistent, and it's going to have to be LeBron willing them to a title in some of these games, and you're going to have to give it to him. And also, I think this is a challenge to the voters to get LeBron to smile. I don't think he's going to smile. He hasn't smiled in weeks. And one of the few ways they can get him to do it is to give him the MVP award. And minus 165 for MVP. I don't think they give it to Davis. I think minus 165 is good value for right there for LeBron to win MVP. And then you don't have to worry if they win in 4, 5, 6, or 7. All right. Those are our NBA picks. Should be a fun series either way. World Series. Like I said, 4 games on Tuesday. We're recording this Tuesday morning. It's 4 games today, 8 games tomorrow. And then it's just craziness all week. 16 teams. I'm a baseball fan. You guys are baseball fans. We're going to be betting these games. We're going to be paying attention. But 16 is a lot. I could see the casual fan not worrying about it if they don't have a team involved until it gets down to 8 at least next week, but it's 2 out of 3, which is a little scary for teams like the Dodgers, who are favored to win the whole thing at plus 350, or the Yankees or Tampa Bay at 7-1. Getting out of that first round is not going to be so easy when it's 2 out of 3. Minnesota's 10-1, Oakland and San Diego 10-1, Atlanta 12-1, and then it goes on. Blue Jays and Brewers are 38-1. Those are the longest shots. Marlins somehow made it. And can we, kudos to Major League Baseball for catching up. I don't know. We thought they were dead to rights, right? With the Cardinals and Marlins having to make up 15 games. Like, they just doubleheaded the shit out of the schedule and got it to 59, 60 games, whatever they needed to create this 16-team playoff. I'm going White Sox 15-1. I'm sticking with them. They lost 9 out of 12 down the stretch. Not great. Historically bad in that Oakland Coliseum, that cement shithole, Bri. Sorry, no offense. I think they're 1 out of the last 9. But Lucas Giolito and Dallas Keuchel, they start off, they're 1-2. Keuchel's got an ERA under 2. They could upset the A's there. They're good enough. They have 96 home runs, 5 players with 10 or more, which basically is like having 30, you know, 5 30-plus home run guys in a regular season. Abreu, Jimenez, Tim Anderson hit over 320. I think they beat the A's. And I think at 15-1 odds, I think I took them a couple months ago when we gave out picks. I'm sticking with them at 15-1. Harry, you're going against that. Fully going against that.
Taking the A's. Look, I think what the situation here, I think they're 10-1 to win the World Series. I think what the situation is, look, no fans. Maybe that's what they need. And since 1990, they've been in 13 series of either just wild card games or playoff series. They've won one. So maybe no fans, it turns the switch, changes the situation here for the A's. First baseman Matt Olson, he's got, 42 RBIs? He's only batting 195, but 42 RBIs during that time.
Yeah.
14 homers, Fires led them in wins. Chris Bassett, 2.29 ERA. I think if they can get to games 3-2, they're not a great hitting team, obviously Oakland isn't. But still, if they can get in 3-2 games, I think their relief will get the job done from the Jake Diekman, 21 innings pitch, 0.42 ERA. And Liam Hendricks, 14 saves for the A's. I think that's and one ERA, one earned run in the whole month of August. I think the A's, like I said, low scoring games, they can make a run.
Yeah, that's the key. If the White Sox boppers are on, you know, on point, but the A's pitchers haven't allowed a lot of home runs. So that's a fun opening series. No Matt Chapman for you though, Harry. You're going at it without one of your stars there. Yep. It's gonna be interesting. All right, Parlay Kid, you're taking one of the series here. I think you like the White Sox also, but we don't want to.
Yeah, I like
up.
The White Sox. I do think, you know, they I'm not going to take them, but yeah. They were sixth in pitching and sixth in batting average this year too, which is a kind of right. A nice combination for them. I'm taking the Yankees to win this series, Sal. We're basically getting even odds here for both teams in this series. Look, Brother Brian and I would tell you that we lost probably a lot of money with the Cleveland Indians this year. Every time we bet them,
for sure.
We would see them score like one run. It was unbelievable. This team, they hit 228 as a team. They don't score runs. The Yankees, we know also, Brother Brian and I do, watching the Yankees in the playoffs can be very frustrating because you see the big names, but you don't see the production in the playoffs. But I think the Yankees will find a way to out-hit and outscore the Indians in what promises to be close games here. But yeah. I think Cole, look, the Yankees paid Cole a lot of money to win this game tonight, right? So, yep. And I think he will. He's found his groove lately, and I think he's going to shut them down. At most, one run, seven innings. Yankees find a way to win this game 4-1, and then that's a huge advantage going into tomorrow night with Tanaka going game two. And Tanaka, we know, is he's a big game pitcher as far as I'm concerned. Always comes through when the Yankees need him to come through. So I think the Yankees getting even odds here. I like them in this series. I'm not trying to be a homer here. I just think that
it doesn't come across like that at all. Don't worry about it.
You know, I don't really like to do this. You know, right. I don't like
you,
to do
you, it. You change like your baseball pick like four times, but we all knew it.
So let's go Yankees to win this series.
Here's what I worry about. Parlay Kid says, I've lost more money betting on the Indians. I'm going with my Yankees. It seems, yeah. I don't know. I think I see what's going on here. All right, Brother Bri, a lot of people like the Reds going into just the regular season, and now they're still alive and not a ton of reason not to get off that bandwagon.
Yeah, I like them. So they're plus 118 against the Braves. Look, they're coming in hot into the playoffs. They've won 11 of 14 games. They won three straight series against other playoff teams. Their pitching has been fantastic in those 14 games, only giving up 2.8 runs. I mean, when you can throw Bauer out there, Castillo, who was really good in September, and Gray, that's going to be tough for the Braves in a three-game series. And it's hard to gauge the Braves, too. Like, you look at they haven't played that great down the stretch. They haven't played really any good teams. Maybe the Marlins, I guess, is the best team they've played. So I think I don't know. I think this is going to be something similar to last year. I could see them just getting knocked out here early.
All right. There you go. Joel and Jim are very, they're Yankee fans. They're very proud of this pun they've come up with. They've coming up with the Champa Bay. They think Tampa Bay is going to win three titles. So they're calling it Champa Bay. Nice job, Joel. You want to comment on that? Want to tell us how that the origin of that?
We're just trying to sell shirts, Sal.
Okay.
Jump on board.
Champa Bay. There you go. By the way, I want to comment on the Parlay Kid and Harry had a bet for no pitcher will have two complete games. It's the most controversial player prop bet in the history of Major League Baseball. They started to change the rules. You looked like you were dead to rights the first night. Did two players pitch a complete game technically the first night?
Yeah, right now.
Technically, yes. But it didn't factor in because it was Scherzer and Cole who pitched the rain-shortened complete game.
Right.
Which counts as a complete game. But it's still but we'll even say that can count.
Right, okay.
And yet they still didn't pitch another one the rest of the year.
But you knew going in that a rain-shortened complete game was a complete game, right? What you didn't know was a seven-inning doubleheader game doesn't count as a complete game, and four players took advantage. Four pitchers took advantage of that seven inning. Go ahead, Harry. You want to talk?
No, I was going to say, Sal, what do you think the line, the line, me and Parlay Kid both got it at like minus 115. But if we would have known how many seven inning games there were going to be and you still wanted the under, what would the line have been there? It had to have been 20, 25 of those games. What would it have been? Minus 300?
Yeah, if you don't get credit for a complete game for a seven inning. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, right, I think so. I think, Bri, these guys can't complain for a while, right? I mean, if four guys pitched a seven-inning complete game, you have to think one of them might have gone the nine.
Are we sure they really even won, or did Vegas take that off the board? I'm still not sure, because it's only like, you know, maybe there's only like 50 full games. I mean, it just seems weird.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll rule for Parlay Kid getting that, not Harry.
You did it. You guys took advantage of COVID. You guys are a COVID success story. I like it. All right, that brings us to our unsponsored segment, the Make Believe Riverboat Casino. Each week, the degenerate trifecta and I set sail tackling pretend propositions related to sports and pop culture events. It's Tuesday tonight, the big debate, Donald Trump, Joe Biden. Oh, boy, this is it. This is it. This is the one I've been waiting for. You know, I blocked all the noise out for 3.5 years, and I basically, my decision hedges on who wins this debate tonight, or who wins 2 out of 3 debates, I guess. There are 3 debates. There you go. That's all. I want to see who wins this. But anyway, we figured out sports debate you'd most want to see. We put odds on this. Colin Kaepernick, Curt Schilling, 7-2 odds. LeVar Ball, Megan Rapinoe, 5-1 odds. Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair, that's a good one, 10-1 odds. Shaquille O'Neal, anyone in the world, 18-1 odds, or the field, because there are so many options, minus 200. Parlay Kid, let's start with you. Which debate do you want to see in sports?
Well, we just debating sports, or are we debating any topic anywhere? Right?
I think it's any topic. I think you could lay out the topic.
Well, so I guess I'm kind of taking one of the ones you had, but I'm going to replace, I'm going to take Kaepernick.
Okay.
And I'm going to replace him with Schilling with Tim Tebow, right? So, two quarterbacks outcast by the NFL, mm-hmm. In a lot of cases, depending on what you want to believe for what they believe in. Mm-hmm. Both quarterbacks had some success in the league, and they've kind of just disappeared, and you've never heard about them again, except for Tim Tebow hitting about 220 in Double A for the Mets. All right, but besides that, I love to see them argue basically anything, because I'm sure that they are the polar opposites on anything and everything that's out there. So I think that would make for a good debate.
That's a good one. All right. I got nervous for you there, Parlay Kid. You handled that well. Kaepernick and Tebow. Brother Bri, which sports debate do you want to see?
I debated Shaq Barkley. Those would be fun. Yeah. But I wanted something that I thought could be really entertaining. You could talk about probably a lot of different topics, a lot of curse words in this. So I'm going to say The Rock versus Conor McGregor. I feel like, but it would have to be The Rock, the WWE Rock, obviously, but just be so entertaining. It would be good versus evil. Well, I guess if it's Rock WWE, it's probably evil versus evil, but
yeah,
good versus evil. They could tackle any topic. Rock calling Conor McGregor a jabroni would be awesome. I think that could just be a ton of fun.
That'd be fun. Yeah. We might not be able to figure out what Conor's saying after, but we have to subtitle that.
Subtitle. Michael can do the subtitles.
Yeah, Michael, get to work. All right, Harry, what are you thinking?
I was thinking Hogan Flair. I'd love that. I mean, any topic with those two, just debating on what's going to be the best. Those two, the best wrestler overall, who was better between those two, would be just great, because they'd go on and on and on, and it wouldn't get tiring. It'd be great to hear both of them. And I think Flair's still, like, he's still out and about doing interviews, and he's been on. He does sports stuff, like gambling stuff now too. So, and he still does his thing. It's great. I'd love to hear those two. It'd be great.
You want them to debate on who's the better wrestler? I mean, that's just a wrestling promo. That's just a pro.
Oh,
I mean,
it's idea so good.
Really?
So good.
Yeah. All right. I want to see like supply side economics, but all right. But that goes back and forth. I'm going to go off the board. I'm going the field with Ed Orgeron and Mike Tyson. And I don't care. I don't know any of their worldviews or anything, but I just want to hear these two voices for 90 minutes. They could talk about Tigers, LSU Tigers, or the Tigers roaming in Tyson's living room. They could do waffles versus pancakes. I really don't give a crap. Brother Bri, maybe Booger McFarlane as the moderator.
Oh, yeah. That'd be great. That'd be great.
Orgeron, Tyson, let's make this happen. Booger, back in the limelight. There you go. All right, Jim Cunningham. I know you, Joel, you might have some thoughts on this.
I like Hogan and Flair, and the Ed Ogeron's funny with Tyson. Mm. But what about Rocky Balboa versus Clubber Lang? I think that would go well.
Yeah.
To see the two of them. Anybody with Sylvester Stallone would be good.
That is true.
Yeah.
One of my favorite, most underrated scenes in Rocky III where Clubber, you know, Rocky, it's his retirement speech. He's out there. He's in front of the statue. And then Clubber, to get under his skin, it eventually does. It turns into a melee. Goes after Rocky. Goes after Adrian. He's like, "Hey, woman, you want to come back to my apartment? His apartment. Hey, just lie. Just say you have a mansion. Like, no, come back to my apartment. Dress it up a little, Clubber. She's probably not coming anywhere. She's wearing a fur coat. She's with a millionaire. Probably not going with you. You're wearing a feather on your head." All right, there you go, Joel. You have some thoughts on this?
Personally, one of my favorites, they met on the court, they met in the ring, and now on the debate stage, Dennis Rodman, Karl Malone, let's go. Settle it once and for all.
Oh, yeah.
Not bad.
I forgot about Rodman. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a wealth of, there's some great stuff there. All right. Well, I don't know if any of it will be as entertaining as tonight, but we shall see. All right, Shark Tank, guys. Keep me abreast. Brian, did I go with you last week?
Yeah.
This is the running start. Right. I know.
We had the Packers. We won.
We did. We had the Packers.
Yeah.
Didn't even need the points.
Didn't
won
need
on the field. Beautiful. Hit us back. Win again. Who do you like?
All right. So I'm going to go Bears plus 2.5 minus 105. This line is really weird to me, right? I don't know why they're underdogs at home. They're 3-0 with Foles starting, who we all assume is better than Mitch. Maybe not you, Sal, but most of us think it's better. Both teams really don't have a good win. They're 5-1 combined, but don't really have a good win. I would not trust Phillip Rivers in this game at all, though, to get more than 23 points against the Bears. That's just what Phillip Rivers does against good teams. He just, and I don't know. You could throw out the Jets game. I mean, I wasn't really super impressed by them, even in that Jets game. Foles will score enough points to keep this close. Rivers will make one or two mistakes in this game. I think the Bears win, but love getting 2.5 here. I'm just still trying to figure out why they're getting points.
It's so weird. You're right. Because you don't want to weigh too heavily the Colts win over the Jets. Their defense ranks in points allowed, yards allowed, and passing yards allowed. They're first. The Bears amongst 3-0 teams, I'm just looking at some stats we're going on for Fox Bet Live. Last in points per game, last in yards per game, last in yards per play. Bears against the spread at home last five seasons, overall 61%, and as an underdog, 79%. So that definitely goes in your favor. I would buy it up to plus 3, but let's hear the others first before I decide. Harry, jump in there. Best
I'm going to take Auburn in college football, plus 6.5 against Georgia. I like quarterback Bo Nix here. I think he's the better quarterback in this game. 3 touchdowns, no picks last week. They want to avenge a 7-point loss to Georgia last year. No one on the Georgia offense scares you, really. They don't know who the quarterback's going to be this week still. It's either going to be JT Daniel, just Stetson Bennett. Nix last year, remember, he beat Alabama. And somehow, at LSU, they only lost by 3 considering what LSU did after that game. So I think just the better quarterback here is Nix, no matter who Georgia throws out there. Going to give me 6.5, I'll take it.
All right, Georgia with another weird cover or no cover, depending if you had 26 or 28 last week, but they really came alive in the second half. All right, Parlay Kid, what do you got?
Okay, Sal, I'm going to be taking a 3-team over moneyline parlay here.
Oh.
Sal. So we're going over on 3 teams.
Why not?
Okay, so why not? And we've already talked about some of these games, so we're going to take the over 55 in the Dallas-Cleveland game. That seems like a lot, but Dallas has smashed this their last 2 games.
Mm-hmm.
So let's take that over. We're going to take the over in the Bills-Raiders game. Raiders defense over 51.5. The Raiders defense is just not that good. And the Bills seem like they get off to really hot starts defensively, and then their defense starts to crumble a little bit later in the game. So over 51.5 there. And another one I really like, Jacksonville, Cincinnati, over 47.5 points. You take this them each at, let's see, the Dallas one is minus 110, minus 115 is the Bills one, and Jacksonville's minus 110. You add it up. It's plus 581 here, Sal, on FanDuel.
All right. I'm going with you, Parlay Kid. I like those. I don't think Vegas, I don't think FanDuel's adjusted yet to these overs. They're not, they had this baby, this colicky baby, and they don't know what to do with it yet. Can't get it to sleep. 581 is good numbers for those. I like, we've talked about both those. I think I picked the Dallas-Cleveland over. I think I like the over in the Bills game earlier. Jacksonville-Cincinnati, I guess we just have to hope it doesn't go to overtime, 23-23, right? Because there'll be no points.
Boy, that hurt some people.
That was ridiculous. Yeah. But plus 581, I'm going with the Parlay Kid with my Shark Tank pick. Sorry, you other losers and fakers are on your own. all right, guys, what do you got going on, Parlay Kid?
I'm at the Chalk Talker, Sal. Yeah, what do we have going on? Nothing much. So honestly, haven't we just been so invested in this stuff lately?
It's like, so much. Yeah.
It's just like now we're almost like, oh, when is there going to be a night when we have no sports to like, but there's not. There's just not. This is how it is. The new normal for all of us, just watching and wagering on some type of sports every single night here.
It's so nice.
It's great. It's been, but other than that, Sal, just living my life, man. Living there you large. Go.
Nice. I get a little worried with like this Titan stuff and shit. And I talked about like waking up Sunday morning, not knowing if the Falcons game was going to be canceled and if this is going to be it every single week. But come on, please keep it together. Let's go. Negative test, negative results. Harry, what are you doing?
Still here in Southern California. I'm probably going to be going back to Phoenix on Friday.
Good.
So I'll be there for the week. I'll be back home finally. Just watching games like Parlay Kid said. Firing away. That's it. You can check my other stuff out at Best Bet Corner if I do post it. You know, if it's there. Hopefully it will be. But I'll again, you know, go to Best Bet Corner, check out my other articles, and Parlay Kid will probably be joining me again this week with another segment of Best Bet.
There you go. By the way, I get an email from Ken like once a week, like, "Hey, you're not showing show Jim Cunningham this because the last 10 laugh lines or extra points or against all odds are not listed on Apple or something." They're cutting you off, or it's the last 10, but you can't archive anything past that. I'm like, all right, I'll check it. And then it's already always something crazy. Meanwhile, he can't even get your picks up on the site.
That's right. Something.
All right. Something else. Can you fire him? I mean, because you're not really paying him either.
I could. Yeah. I mean, I'm just waiting to see if I get television today so I can watch these baseball games today in my room. Still no TV.
All right, let's start a GoFundMe for Harry and someone maybe we could send him a television. Joel, what do you think? Joel, do you have an extra television for Harry?
I have invited Harry over countless times. He always has a place to stay here. And I won't give him the address, but he's absolutely.
Speaking of invites that may or may be genuine, Ken set up our friend Ken set up a big dinner last night. I couldn't attend. And Jim, you apparently invited and did not even respond to the invitation.
Yeah, I was busy.
I heard you did respond eventually, Jim, no?
Yeah, eventually. After Harry texted me later, that reminded me, oh yeah, I got to respond to Ken.
What was the dinner like, Harry?
He said it was three hours long.
3 hours.
A 3 hour dinner?
3 hour dinner where he got married, outside. So I couldn't even, I couldn't watch. So I didn't watch any of the Baltimore Kansas City game either.
Ken sent me a picture of you during the 3 hour dinner, checking scores or something on your phone. It's like, do you believe this? Hey, look at this.
Guess what? 3 hours. I don't get to watch Baltimore Kansas City. I need Baltimore for 700. I'm going to check the scores once.
Right. Jim, you would have lucked out. These dinners are normally 5.5-6 hours, so you got lucky.
Right.
All right.
That sounds horrible.
Brother Bri, what do you got going?
At the Brother Bri, I don't know how Harry, this constant travel, I don't know how he survived this. I mean, it's amazing. He's still alive.
The health is getting better.
Oh, good. The extra point picks have been pretty decent. I had, I gave out Mahomes plus two and a half touchdowns at plus 144. That went over. I said he was going to have four touchdowns. I said he was going to throw a touchdown between his legs. I just needed a lefty touchdown yesterday. to get that exactly right. But yeah, I think my picks recently been pretty pretty good. Harry's have been pretty bad, so you haven't heard from him.
Extrapoints.com every single day of the week. These guys give out free picks. Harry dresses it up with a video that is barely postable, according to Jim Cunningham. Jim wants nothing to do with Harry's videos. Harry, I'm hearing, doesn't want even Jim to handle him either. I'm hearing off to the side. He wants somebody else. He said Jim doesn't get back to him. Jim, why don't you get back? You don't get back to anybody, I guess. But Harry gets nervous when his videos aren't up in the morning.
Yeah, sorry, Harry. I'll try to be better with that.
No, it's,
yeah. Jim, what do you have going on?
Not much. Haven't been doing anything. Didn't do anything last night. Just been relaxing. No obligations. Nothing. It's been great.
You got dinner invitations? You turned that though. You said you were busy.
Yeah.
All right. He's at Jim Cunningham. The eyes are ones. Lots of sports coming up. Look forward to it. Look forward to seeing if Dragic is going to do some plays on Wednesday night. And that'll do it. Another episode Against All Odds. Watch Fox Bet Live Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on FS1. Follow us at Extra Points Pod and me at The Cousin Sal on Twitter for the Degenerate Trifecta, Jim Cunningham and Joel Solomon. I'm Sal, saying so long and happy handicapping.